Podcast Judge!
Hello everyone, and welcome to episode 138 of Lost in Transition. I'm May.
And I'm Jack.
And this time we'll be discussing the season of Digimon Savers and Digimon Data Squad all together overall. It's just our usual summary episode. So just because we always do this, the podcast for Savers had 23 episodes, excluding this one. And that all added up to be 42 hours, 0 minutes, and 24 seconds.
That's crazy. How do we do this for 42 hours? There's not even 42 hours of content in the show.
There is.
No, there isn't. What is that? 50, it's 48 episodes?
Oh, it's 48 episodes, yeah.
And they're 20 minutes each?
Yeah, we discussed Savers more than there's actually Savers content.
I think we do that with every season, though.
Mm. Well, we last covered Frontier for 33 hours, and Tamers was for 48 hours.
I think it's interesting, because Frontier has more episodes, which implies that Frontier was so bad there was nothing to say.
Yes.
But, like, there was significantly less to say.
Well, and then with 02, and I believe Adventure we only discussed for 20 hours.
That's different. Those were, we were just getting into the show.
Yeah, but also, Adventure was just, like, there wasn't really much to say about Adventure.
Because it was all new. Like, oh, that's weird.
But it was also just, and we say this last time as well, and the time before, so we say this most times, that Adventure was just, it was okay. Like, it had some good parts in it, but for most part, it was just sort of, it didn't try to be anything different because
it had nothing to be different
to. Had nothing to be different to.
It was the baseline average.
And Frontier, we just complained for 33 hours, I guess. And then Tamers having 48 hours, that's still like the most we've spoken about a full season besides Atmon.
Because there's a lot to say.
Because we didn't talk about Atmon, but they were only like 20 minute episodes we were doing every week.
I think what it has to do with Tamers is like, oh, we can talk about all the good stuff that Tamers does, but then all the stuff that's really disappointing and that no one talks about anymore.
Yeah. So there's a podcast schedule update. We're no longer weekly. We don't know exactly know what we'll be doing, but we'll keep you updated. There's a few other changes too, but we put out a blog post about this a couple of days ago, so if you're interested, read that. It's on our blog.
We have a pretty good idea that we've workshopped what the new schedule is going to look like, and we still think we'll be putting out content regularly.
Yeah, I'll aim for still doing content weekly, be it podcast or video. I will be organizing the Digimon manga. Jay does not want to be on that, so I'll be having that with someone else on it. I've actually asked Sam from the Moncast and Sporky from Going Digital, and that they've agreed, so we'll organize that and we'll be covering next soonish.
So look forward to new guests and such. My time is just limited, so unfortunately, as much as VTamer was amazing and I'm interested to see what happens in the manga of next, I might even look at it independently because I'm a crazy person, but I don't have the additional time to do that show as well.
Yeah, because next is quite good, and people always say like it's the second best manga.
Oh god, I'm gonna have to read this independently. Oh jeez. Well, if you start seeing like bits of it leak into the mainline shows, then you'll know.
Yeah, which is good, which is very good. So there's also another update. YouTube's going to be demonetizing our channel because they have a new threshold of 4,000 hours of watch time within the past 12 months and 1,000 subscribers.
So one can only imagine that this happened. Like, it's so weird. You can clearly link this to the Logan Paul stuff, but yeah. They punished one of the biggest YouTubers on YouTube by demonetizing all the small channels, and it doesn't make any sense. But at the same time, it's not like we made any particular amount of money on the YouTube channel anyway. It's just a cool place for us to put content.
We've made $30.
Really?
But we can't get it out unless we get $100, which we're not going to get out.
That's really funny.
Yeah. So we
I didn't know we'd even made that much.
Yeah, it's because we do have monetizing stuff, but because we'll never get to that 100 because we don't have anywhere near 1,000 subscribers. I don't think we even have 1,000 listeners. And, you know, we're not going to have 4,000 hours of watch time within past 12 months.
Ah, well. It's not like, okay, we didn't lose anything in the process besides this mysterious $30.
It's just going to sit there in our Google AdSense account.
That's cool.
And because this is just a special sort of summary episode, we're going to be moving on to straight to Postmon Pat now. For Postmon Pat this week, first up, we had a weekly poll. And this week, the question was, should Masaru have stayed in a coma with the other humans in the movie? So we had 16 votes and no comments. So we do have a majority of people say yes. So that was 68.75. So that's 11 votes. And 5 people said no, which is 31.25%. What do you think?
I'm actually in the minority here. I do think him waking up is cool. And I think he had a cool idea, which is like, oh, Masaru shows up and stuff gets really real. But I think that you could have done that in a really interesting way.
You know what would have been cool?
Mm-hmm.
If instead of being Masaru, it's just like, Agumon was sort of like hallucinating Masaru.
I'm not sure that's as cool as you think. I'm literally all a dream.
No, it's not actually a dream. Like, he's just sort of, it's like he's speaking to Masaru, but it's more like the spirit of Masaru. Or like, because you know how
Masaru was falling down and heard his dad speak to him?
Mm. It's like Agumon was quoting Masaru the whole movie. So imagine if he was just basically quoting Masaru word for word himself.
What I would have liked is rather than that, well, rather than like speaking to Masaru then, that when he finally goes into his big evolution, like, and he does the big punch or whatever, you overlay like a spirit of Masaru, like they're punching together.
Yeah, that would have been
so cool.
I just feel like they could have done a lot better.
Oh yeah, it definitely could have been better. But at the same time, it's like they were missing 2/3 of the movie.
Yep.
So we got a comment on YouTube from Boren32, who says that Gaomon and Lalamon were told to come back when they were main characters.
Poor Lalamon and Gaomon, they deserve so much better.
And on Tumblr, we got one from Elivorg, who says, I totally agree about the plot of the movie being weird and confusing, particularly regarding rhythm and the lack of explanation she gets. However, I enjoy watching it anyway because of Agumon's role as the protagonist. It really highlights why he's the most interesting Digimon partner there's been. He absolutely idolizes Masaru to the point that he feels useless without him and can only keep going by clinging to the things that Aniki would say and do. That's a lot more unique than most other Digimon, who are only interesting in the way they influence their human partner and don't really have much going on their own side of things. Except for Gomamon, he's the best! Even if their personalities may be cute and entertaining on the surface, this is also why Masaru and Agumon's relationship is their favorite human Digimon relationship, because it goes both ways. Agumon influences Masaru, but Masaru influences Agumon just as much. And because of this, they're actually okay with Masaru showing up like when he did. Thanks to Agumon being his own character, he'd actually outright given up and didn't think he had the strength to go on just moments before Masaru appeared, which is an interesting contrast to Masaru himself, who would never give up. It's fitting to Agumon's character that he actually needs his Aniki to be there in order to win. Although I would say that in the climax of your movie, that's when the protagonist overcomes their difficulties, and that's why the spirit of Masaru would be much more interesting than Masaru himself actually showing up. It would be like a kung fu movie where like someone is training to beat the boss and the main antagonist, and he's like trying really hard, and just when he's about to give up because he cannot kung fu fight the boss too like hard enough, he just shoots him with a gun. It's like, oh, I guess you didn't overcome anything, you just brought a gun with you. Sure. Then Masaru gets to be presented as this impossibly strong, awesome guy who instantly saves the day, since that's kind of how Agumon views him, which is also a neat parallel to the way Masaru views his own father. That's not weird. It's not weird Masaru is Agumon's dad in this situation at all. They have to confess that they totally believe Masaru's words about being woken up because Agumon's actions lit a fire in his heart. It seems reasonable, although to me, that the moment where Agumon summoned all of his strength to break free of the vines in order to save Rhythm was so manly of him that it essentially caused the usual flow of emotional energy from human to Digimon to work in reverse, so that Agumon's emotions affected Masaru and woke him up. And I realized that Agumon's vines having burned away does make quite a bit of sense too, but if that's the case, then why didn't Tom and Yoshi and other random humans also show up at the same time? And my only answer to you is fireball teleportation. Only Masaru can do that. So how did he get from the other side of the city to here in 30 seconds? Fireball teleportation.
Yes.
It's gotta be that.
Masaru has a lot of power, okay?
He's got such weird powers that even in the weird recap episode with the Digimon in the radio studio, they're like, Gaomon goes, how did you and Masaru do that? And Agumon's only response is, well, you know, Aniki and I, we fight against common sense. That's what we do. And everyone just goes, what?
I love their logic, though.
It's great. It's nonsense, but it's great.
I'm glad they addressed it as well.
Yeah, for sure. They addressed a few things in the series that just didn't make any sense at all.
That's good. That's what they should do.
Yeah, it was. It was like roasting themselves a little bit. It was a good time.
So first of all, I want to talk about the characters in Digimon Savers, because we did get some. Well, we got one.
let's not let it go. This segment is called Crazy Characters.
Yes, I always name that. And
it's increasingly embarrassing every season, isn't it?
Yes, yes. But I like alliteration, and I can't think of a better word that starts with C, except for the naughty words.
You adore alliteration.
Yeah, I get it.
Ah.
So favorite human, Masaru.
Masaru, yeah, like 100%. He, like, everyone else is boring, except for Toma, sometimes.
Toma got good stuff towards the end, and I feel like the heel turn, I feel, was interesting.
In hindsight, it was justified just fine.
Yes, because his sister was in danger, but also he had emotions and feelings regarding Masaru basically coming out of nowhere and being impulsive and just punching things.
I actually think that was to mislead you as the audience.
I know, but I feel like that was still legitimate, and it happened. It started from his introduction, so I thought that it was actually quite good that they started that early on.
It was legit enough that it was a good like mislead, so it worked.
So he he's all right, but Masaru is still the best, and I feel like Digimon does have more or less the problem where it does give a lot extra to the main character.
Yeah, Frontier. Who said that?
Except I would argue in Tamers, where Takato never really, I mean, he did get an extra evolution, and he did sort of have some bits to do in the final fight, but I feel like Ruki got like...
She got a lot.
She got the most character development, because Takato didn't really need to change or evolve or anything.
He was always perfect.
Yeah, he's always perfect cinnamon roll. He doesn't have to be anything else. Least favorite, I'm sorry, is Yoshino.
Yeah, it's gotta be. I mean, but like...
I blame the writers.
Me too, because what? Yeah, Tom's great. Well, Tom's pretty good, and Ikuto's pretty good, and then who else is there? The captain? Like, of the four main characters, I wouldn't clearly call her, Yoshi.
Like, Satsuma main character.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
The thing is, like... They could have done Yoshino fine. It's just, it's almost like they just said, no, this is shonen. We'll have a girl there because we need to have a female character.
They clearly didn't care. You say that, but like, what's it called? My Hero Academia is shonen as hell, and the female characters in that are all great.
Yeah, but it's like, it's...
They're not even that complicated, but they're all great.
Mm. Favorite evolution? I really like Rosemond Burst Mode.
My favorite evolution is Ivan's bio evolution, because his neck goes all weird.
Oh, yeah. Okay, the actual evolution clip. I was just talking about the evolution in general, like the one with the best design.
Oh, I mean, yeah, Rosemond's great. I don't know what to tell you. The black and whites, it looks real good.
Least favorite, I guess, and this is also my answer for my least favorite Digimon, is Sunflowmon.
Oh, that's fun. Sunshine. Sunshine.
Yeah, she's just, I feel sorry for her, but I'm just like, I can't get behind that design. Like, I never really liked Togemon's design, but that warmed me because it was a giant boxing cactus. That's cool.
It's silly.
Sunflamemon just seemed like Pokemon.
You know, it looks, no, but like, Lalamon and Sunflamemon both look, Sunflamemon is a Pokemon.
Yeah,
it's
Sunflower. Sunkern. Yeah. No, Sunkern evolves into a sunflower.
Oh, no, Sunkern is the thing, yeah.
Sunflora.
Like, it's that thing. It's exactly that.
Yeah. And favorite Digimon, I really like Kamemon.
It's gotta be Agumon. Like, what are you talking about?
I like Kamemon.
It's gotta be Agumon. What are you talking about?
Kamemon's my friend.
As far as least favorite, I'm actually gonna go with Piyomon.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's so lame. It's incredibly lame.
It's just a big boy Piyomon.
It just, like, that hurt. That's so annoying. I found that frustrating.
What, that Piyomon was a boy in this? Oh, and also
the worst main character is actually Kurata, because Kurata's never improved. He was crap the whole time.
Well, that's actually my next question, which is bad guy groups.
Well, you said it's favorite bad guy generally?
No, bad guy or bad guy group. So, like, I'm going to say Biohybrids is my favorite.
I liked bits and pieces of Yggdrasil at the end when they were making... When, like, I could have constructed a good character out of them. And in hindsight, because I think they're really funny, and I really wish they'd gotten any comeuppance at all, and they never, ever, ever did, the Minister of Confidentiality.
The worst... Yeah, you're right,
because
they are the bad guys.
Because he's so incompetent, it's actually funny in hindsight.
Engullible.
Like, he's such a cartoon.
Yes.
But he needed to get, like, hurt or injured or, like, something bad had to happen to him to make up for all the bad stuff he did.
Yeah, they kind of just... I feel like they forgot about him as soon as Kurata wasn't relevant anymore.
The worst thing that ever happened, I think, is he got a bit embarrassed when Kurata
betrayed him, yeah. But you think they were introduced basically for Kurata.
No, that's it. And because they were his power, because Kurata is, as a character, you can tell, would be stupid and pointless without having the government behind him.
Yeah. And so my favorite, just to go back to the Biohybrids, I feel like those are some of the strongest episodes we got in the season.
You mean 2/3 of the Biohybrids?
Yeah, except for one of them. And that's my main complaint. I'll go into it now. Just
he's so,
like,
crap.
Koki could have had, like, such an easy thing, like, maybe Masaru fought him once.
It's okay. He goes,
and he got salty.
So you mean the plot of V-Tamer?
Yes. Why not?
You mean they fought to a draw, and then Masaru was like, yeah, we both won. And then he goes, no, we both lost.
Yeah,
and how could you? I was 100% fighter.
That's so easy to do.
I was the 100% street fighter.
They come up with a reason that Koki's just angry. But he would just know. He's just an angry little boy. And that's his thing. Like, Ivan and Nanami had great ones. Like, Ivan's doing it all for his siblings. And Nanami just, like, she's kind of bored. Like, that's a pretty easy one. Like, oh, no, she's not actually, like, evil or good or whatever. She's just bored. And because she's smarter than everyone else. And that's fine. But my least favorite... And also, as another favorite, I actually do kind of like parts of the Royal Knights.
Which parts?
Like, I think the Royal Knights arc wasn't too bad. And the Royal Knights, in general, weren't too bad in this.
Yeah. And I think they weren't terrible. They weren't good. They just weren't awful.
Yeah, but I felt like towards the end, it was just sort of... To have them sort of turn on Yggdrasil and say, hey, maybe the word of God's not absolute.
Yeah, that was good. I don't know. I don't feel like many of them had an arc. That's because there's so many of them.
Yeah. And I like Craniumon. I feel like he was probably my favorite Royal Knight in this, but that's because he probably had the most. Besides Kudamon.
He was easily the best, yeah.
Yeah, Kudamon's fine, but I think that Craniumon having the moments where he just sort of, like, said, hey, Masaru, if you can beat me, then you can go.
And then he's like, no, you won. It's fine.
Yeah, and he's like, it's admirable. And he's like, well, you won. Sure. You've proven to me about this human potential. And we find out that Masaru's dad did the same thing. So it's poetic in that way. So they're not bad. I just think the favorite bad guy group was Biohybrids. What did you say yours was, sorry?
My favorite was Yggdrasil for like 30 seconds, or the Minister of Confidentiality. Because the Minister of Confidentiality, he's the best position where you go, okay, he's a government flunky, so it's totally possible he worked his way up through this, unlike Kurata, who's a weirdo scientist, who you know his background, so there's no reason he should be there. And then the way he acts, he doesn't get all this weird Digimon crap. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
He's like a weirdo politician. And I think that he was really funny in hindsight. I probably just hate him a lot, but like, I don't know. I think he's also a decent choice because he's the bad guy that you want to hate the most.
Mm.
And also you have the best reason to.
But least favorite.
Kurata. He's just written so badly.
See, I don't actually know who's my least favorite.
Well, you gotta pick someone. Probably Yggdrasil then.
Probably like the giant dumb Yggdrasil.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah. But no, because, and I did see a few people in our listener opinions had a favorite bad guy, Kurata. Least favorite bad guy, Kurata. And a few people did that.
That's fair.
Because that's actually reasonable, because there were parts of the Kurata arc that were fine. And I mean, technically the Biohybrids are because of Kurata.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that he's better for it.
Let's talk about character stories and character growth and how Yoshino had bad character development.
Yeah, we only thing we know about her is that she has anxiety, but she got over it.
Yeah, but her sisters aren't even given characters.
They don't physically appear.
And then when we had the Burst Mode episode, that's meant to be like the continuation of that story, and it was for Toma, but we didn't get it for Yoshino.
Toma's is so good. Honestly, like, I think that Toma wins this. Even though Masaru had obviously a good arc and everything, I think Toma, even though it was compressed so briefly, it was so strongly written.
Yeah.
And it was so, it just explained everything about him.
Yeah.
Because even if he doesn't like the fact that his grandmother's a huge racist and everyone, and there's this crazy judgment throughout the family and all this pressure, he still represents that. He still functions as though that is a part of his life, because he can't escape his family, and the only thing that has stopped him has been seeing Masaru and seeing Masaru being successful over a long period of time. And I think that's really interesting.
Right. And yeah, no, I agree with you there. Also, I wish that Koki got some development as well, or some story or something, because Nanami and Ivan both had something and he didn't. Like, it felt like they gave more, like that episode that Koki and fighting Masaru, that was just fighting. It didn't have any actual things. I mean, there was the part where Koki was like, I'm going to stand in front of a building because you're not going to attack, but I don't care what happens to the humans.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
And that was a good part of the episode, but we never got any story besides why he's like this besides he's just angry. We don't know why.
Why are you like this?
But we even see him in the epilogue not wearing a helmet.
It's fine, he's arrested now.
Yeah, hopefully. He's arrested for not having a character. Yoshino's also there. Now for the listener opinions. Favorite characters. This whole survey got 30 responses, and 30 people answered this, and for most part, we had everyone responding to a question, and I'll only say otherwise if it wasn't the full 30. So, 80% say Masaru.
Was their favourite.
Yeah. And 10% say Akuto was their favourite.
That's not even wrong. Like, Akuto had
some good, and Akuto did have some good story behind
him. That bit where they're playing Shogi badly is my favourite.
On their flicking the head, yeah, no, that's good.
You will get the head flick now.
Least favourite, 48.3% said Yoshino.
Fair enough.
Percent, not people, because there's no 0.3 people. And 31% said Akuto.
I can only think that that's A, because he's the kid. B, because he's a bit frustrating at times.
Or the dub.
And C, because like you see him and you get resentful because he's not time spent on Yoshino's backstory.
Yeah, and also we did get that double episode of Yoshino and Akuto, that's which what, I that's think what is I'm wrong. Talking yeah.
about. How he just subsumes time from her.
Favorite main Digimon? We had 43.3% say Agumon, and surprising, 23.3% said Lalamon.
Ah, the Pokemon fans in the audience.
But I actually don't mind Lalamon's design. Sunflamon's.
You mean the Pokemon fans in the audience?
Yeah. Least favourite main Digimon only got 29 responses, and 48.3% said Lalamon.
Destroyed.
And 34.5% said Falcomon.
I would honestly not be able to tell you anything about Falcomon other than
he's a bird.
He's a bird and likes Akuto.
He loves Akuto. And that's what I like about him. Favourite supporting characters, we have Satsuma, 26.7%, and tied for second place was Sayuri and Yushima at 23.3%.
Does that mean they got 23.3% each?
Yes.
Oh, it was really close then.
Yeah, and I would agree, like, I think Sayuri's pretty good.
I don't know, Neon was pretty great, I don't know.
I was about to say Neo from VTamer, yeah, I'm like, yeah, oh, Neon. Wait, no, Neon, yeah, oh, no.
Yeah, or how about Ikuto's parents, how cool were they?
Yeah, trying to get their second child also killed.
Yeah.
Lee's favourite supporting character, we had Megumi, 30%, and then tied for second place was Chika and Mickey at 13.3%.
That's honestly quite fair.
It's interesting that more people dislike Megumi than Mickey, though, considering they've got the same...
They never do anything different, and they always do the exact same
stuff. So I think that must be the character design, then.
It also might be an issue of just, like, people flipped coins when looking at the names.
Yeah.
And they should have been one option.
Yeah, Mickey and Megumi. I just wanted to see what who people preferred over the two.
Well, we found out, didn't we?
Or rather, who they didn't prefer. Favourite bad guy? 33.3% said biohybrids.
Well, this just means, because how many options were there for this? What, three options?
No, it was basically every main bad guy. So Yggdrasil, Royal Knights, biohybrids.
Okay, Yggdrasil and the Royal Knights would probably get lumped together in this. But then again, so would hybrids and Hirata usually, so... To be fair, I guess biohybrids deserve to win this.
And then second place, Kurata with 30%.
Mm-hmm.
And then least favorite bad guy, we had tied for first place, Kurata 30%.
The same people who said that he was their favorite, we know.
And Royal Knights 30%.
Yeah, they do ruin Digimon.
I thought they were fine. I was actually surprised to see that people said the Royal Knights were the least favorite, but I guess there weren't that many choices. And the bad guys altogether weren't that bad in Sabers.
That means that they weren't good bad guys.
You know, I mean bad as in...
They weren't bad bad guys. You know what I mean.
Yeah. The next segment is Daring Differences, which is about the differences between the English and the Japanese version. So, I guess for our thoughts, I'm not going to mention Citramon because that's a low-hanging orange.
Ooh, that was good. You could have gone with low-hanging fruit. It still would have worked as a pun.
I know, but I also made that joke, like, in the Citramon episode.
I don't remember that. That's fine. It's been long enough. No one remembers.
We went through Citramon a lot in that episode. Like, it's a change, but they made it. As for what I thought the biggest change was, Bansho Liamon's weird friend obsession, which is only in the first episode that he's introduced.
Especially
and then
in hindsight.
Yeah.
That one's real bad.
Yeah.
That one's, like, really nonsense. God, I really should have prepared for this in advance. I know I've Oh, no, it's King and God. Definitely the difference between King and God is a huge difference.
Even though the Royal Knights sort of also make sense if they're following a king.
Yeah, but no, but they don't... It doesn't make sense how that you relate to a king and how the king treats you and how you, like, react to one. Because if he thinks he's a king, just punch him.
Also, if we're talking about occupations, also the whole aniki to boss sort of thing.
It's less, because...
The employee... Oh, you're my follower, you're my employee.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's still just subordination through trust and like getting protection and stuff. It's a minor difference compared to a king, a person who just believes themselves to be a ruler of a place, and a god believing themselves to be A, all powerful, and B, to be like the creator of this area. It's a whole thing.
Right. And Jay, do you want to read the 18 responses that we got to this question from our listeners?
The first one just says Citramon. The second says there's a lot of annoying bits that happen because Masaru is referred to as boss instead of bro. Another says, Marcus is made systematically less likable than Masaru for some baffling reason.
That's in every season of Digimon, though. Like, every dub will always have the characters as a little bit more annoying, especially I guess we'll say Golgol Kid, but he's not actually the Golgol Kid.
Also Danganronpa.
Mm.
Masaru, 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 yes, queen! We got Aniki the boss, Yggdrasil being a king instead of a god, and Citramon, I guess. It would either have to be the Bansho business or the god gobbledygook.
So basically the ones we both said.
Absolutely. I would have to say that the music, never got to watch all of Sabers as opposed to Data Squad, but the type of music used in Data Squad feels very exciting, like workout music, while the music in Sabers feels more like just music you would listen to because it's just enjoyable, if that makes sense. Masaru's base character as street thug / hothead in Japan with turf, etc., versus being just a fighter in the dub. And that's an issue of culture, I think, and it just doesn't exist in America as much, because Bansho doesn't exist. And not much really, mainly dialogue and cosmetics. Citramon, I assume. Probably the language. One of them uses English audio while the other opts for Japanese. Ooh, I can't believe it's taken us this long to get a response like that.
Yeah.
King Drazel. Ugh. The worst part about it is that it carried over to the localization of Cyber Sleuth. Pretty sure the target age range can handle a little Norse mythology.
I mean, the worst thing that's in... The worst localization name change would have to be... Oh, I can't even remember.
In the English of Cyber Sleuth, is it King Drazel?
Yes.
Oh my gosh!
But I also want to say that there is a Digimon who is called Creepymon, but he's actually... I forgot. I think he's like...
Pedomon.
No, 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 no. It's... It's not Demon, it's something else, but he's Creepymon in the dub, and it's weird.
Isn't that Evilmon? No, that's different.
No, that becomes Vilemon.
Marcus has no kindness, one says. DNA charge still doesn't sound right, but it has to be Bomber Nanimon to Citrusmon. Yeah, of course. Marcus's character. They remove nearly everything that made Masaru interesting and distinctive and replace it with generic shonen talk about friendship or believing in yourself or whatever. And then on top of that, they made him into a jerk, whereas Masaru is actually a pretty great, kind-hearted person. It's consistent enough that it's clearly deliberate, and I have no idea why the dubbers thought this was a good idea.
Also, speaking of Masaru being changed, that whole, like, falling off the monkey bars part that was referenced in the original, but it was changed to a reference to Kingdom Hearts. But then when we went at the end, when Bachelormon said, "I'm your father because remember this memory," and it sort of means less because it's like, oh yeah, he did actually say that, like, a long time ago.
We got one that says Yggdrasil to King Drazel, then Anarchy to Boss, and then the removal of Masaru's idea of being a man. Of course, you may consider this a good or a bad thing, but it is a big change.
I still feel like he still mentions being a man sometimes.
Not as much, and so it's not as much of a theme. Now it's just a thing he says sometimes. And then Citrumon, Yoshino's voice acting, and Thomas verbally apologizing to Masaru in the dub of episode 37.
Oh, that was awful. Yeah, because in the original, he's quoting basically what he said when he first met him about how his fists are unwavering and don't have plan and stuff like that.
And he's like, nah, sorry, man.
But he's saying it in a nice way. He says, and that's why it's so hard not to like you. But then he's just like, yeah, he's just apologizing, saying, oh, sorry for doing this.
I'm still so mad they made him scream during his burst mode thing, because that's not the character at all.
Our next discussion is about exciting episodes. You can see me with my alliteration again.
Love it.
So for our thoughts, the best episode, I think episode 46, which is the episode where Banchaleamon are both dying with Suguru, and it's just as Masaru's reunited with him, and we sort of know why Banchaleamon didn't explain that he was Masaru's dad, and I think it's a pretty good episode. It's just the one that rings to mind, that and the finale episode.
My favourite is when Ikuto hangs out at Masaru's house and they just have a good time.
I also had that down. That was episode 22.
I love that.
I believe.
So good.
Or maybe 21. That was good, and they play shogi.
I believe that was that one, because they just beat Sableomon right at the end for free.
Yeah.
It was a
and
good time.
And also, Ivan and Nanami fight episodes were quite good.
Yeah.
I think episode 22 was like the first one I said, hey, this is a really good episode, and I think I might have given it a 9 at the time.
Because everything else was kind of lame.
For worst episode, I'm going to have to say episode 8, which was Yoshino Gets Her Cinderella Story, which was the singer neon one. I felt that was a little, almost a bit of a cop-out, because she didn't actually fight the fight.
I'm trying to remember what were really bad episodes, because I think the ones that I didn't like were just boring.
And it's always the ones at the start that are the less good ones, because it's when they sort of have to teach you about the world, they have to teach you about the characters.
There would have been that Kurata one where I got really upset, and then I eventually turned around on it entirely, because in hindsight it was good.
Yeah.
So I can't say that one. So yeah, let's go with the one where it became obvious that Yoshi was never going to have a character.
Yeah, because she didn't even fight her own fight, and they wouldn't let her. It was just, What about best arc?
So, the best arc, because I don't like any of that stuff in the digital world, really.
I liked Biohybrids, and I will say it's an arc, because it was. It was an arc within an arc, and the Karada arc was the bigger arc, but the best part of it was the Biohybrids.
In this case, I like them rescuing Ikuto and all that stuff, because I got to yell about Ikuto's crap parents.
Like Marukimon, so you would say Marukimon's arc?
Not really. I don't want to say that.
But the Marukimon's arc was
an antagonist, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Was he even on the list?
No.
Oh my god, because we forgot.
I didn't even put Sableomon on the list.
That doesn't count. He was a monster of the week.
Yeah, considering he died fairly quickly, I was
mad. Was Gotsumon on the list?
No.
He should have been.
The true evil of Digimon Savers Gotsumon.
He kind of was.
The thing is, I forgot, you're right, Sableomon showed up to basically show Kurata off. He came in as a jobber.
Absolutely.
Because he died fairly instantly to Kurata. And those who don't know, jobber is a term...
In wrestling.
When you're trying to... Yeah, in wrestling, when you're trying to make someone, particularly if they're new or newish, meant to be strong.
Make them look good.
Yeah, so this person will come in, and his job is to make the other person look good.
Yeah,
and losing. Make them look strong. And sometimes it can be a squash match, sometimes it can be longer than a squash match. But at the end of the day, even if he's really strong and really good, he makes the other person look good, the person that he's fighting against.
Yeah, as for worst arc, I think Kurata. I was so angry the whole time. Even though there were good bits in it, it made me so angry that I... Because that bad guy is so weak, from a writing perspective, that I just wish it hadn't happened. I know it's important for the whole show, but it was just frustrating. Every time anything would happen. It took place over 2 days, do you remember that?
Yeah, yeah. See, my worst arc was, and this is another sort of like, well, it was required to happen, the introduction arc. Like, the episodes there were all fairly like, oh, I guess that was okay, but they're all sort of, they were just okay episodes.
Yeah.
But I think I can say that about every season of Digimon, like, oh, the introduction arc was just okay.
Pretty much.
It's a bit of a cop-out answer that I just gave. And that's because I like the rest of it. And you know what? Your intro arc should be your worst arc.
Yeah. And we got some listener opinions. The favorite arc, 30% said Kurata, and 26.7% said Marukimon. So that's sort of the not intro, but the one right afterwards.
Yeah.
As far as least favorite arc, a lot of people said the intro, which I guess they agree with you. And then Yggdrasil, which... I'm not going to argue with that. That wasn't that great. Yeah. It had Suguru in it, but that was weird as well.
It did have some good points, though, and I would say the Royal Knights were a good point of it, surprisingly.
The only majority that any... The only episode that got a majority for favourite episode was the finale.
Yeah, because everyone...
Episode 48.
Like, this is a hard one to get any sort of...
Agreement.
...majority over, because it's like, there's 48 options, and 30 people responded, and a lot of people, like... So, like, the majority of the options were just, like, individual unique episodes having one each, and I was like, well, I can either read out multiple, like, ones and take 10 minutes, or I can just read out the top one. So that was
finale. For least favorite episode, we got 16-ish% for King Drazel's Fatal Decision, which is the clip show episode, which honestly I don't think deserves to be the worst episode, because it made that character almost decent.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that, but also I still think it was a clip show, but it sort of made sense because it was... We know why Yggdrasil is why he, like, how he is and why he came to this conclusion, even though he says it was a test anyway.
Also, I have to compare it to the Atmon clip show, and this was just so much better.
Oh, the Atmon clip show was like, I didn't even count that when we were doing our summary episode. I was like, we can't just say the clip show episode because that is the worst episode, but that's not fair on the rest of the show because I'm sure there's another bad episode.
And then other people said the one where Agumon runs away, episode 6, The Ultimate Team No More.
So that was tied, yeah, the first place. Also, I should mention that the favourite episode only had 20 responses and the least favourite episode only had 19.
I like that because one person's just like, I can't say anything, these were bad though.
Yeah, it was the same for the least favourite character,
that's
if I recall correctly.
That's so cute.
The next discussion is about season similarities, which is a bad title because we're not actually talking about similarities between the seasons. We're just comparing Savers to other seasons that we've watched so far.
Also, you would have written it as similar seasons because that would be in line with all the other ones.
Yeah, you're right.
It's only
been
a couple of years.
Yeah, you're right. We'll get there one day. Is it better than Adventure?
Yes, probably.
I would agree.
Just a bit. Not very much, but a bit.
But it does... It dares to do more than Adventure.
What I would say is the things it does better than Adventure, it does really well, like Masaru.
Yeah.
And having... like that character be nice. And the things it does badly, it does really badly. The bad guys and the supporting main characters, like Yoji.
Yeah, because the supporting main characters in Adventure, and there was a cast of 8.
Whereas the actual story beats that happen in Savers are more interesting, like Thomas' whole backstory stuff. But I would say there are more interesting characters generally in Adventure.
Yes.
Was better than Zero Two. Absolutely. Zero Two was trash.
Better than Tamers, I'm not sure, because I feel like there were parts in Tamers where we just...
There was one bad arc, and then everything else, Tamers was probably better.
Yeah. Better than Frontier, yes.
Yes, everything's better than Frontier. Frontier's one of the worst things I've ever
even watched. The girl character's better than Frontier.
That is also true.
Better than Try?
Up until Chapter 5, I would have said... No.
You were fairly bored in Chapter 4 as well.
Yeah, but I still wouldn't have said no. And now I will.
It's not better than Chapter 3, though. Chapter 3, I feel like, is still the best. It's still one of the highlights. And better than Atmon.
Nothing is better than Atmon.
No.
Except for V-Tamer.
V-Tamer is better. All right, let's talk about the characters in different seasons. So I will still say Goggle Kid, even though I'm...
He doesn't have goggles. He doesn't count.
I know, but I'm just
saying... He doesn't count.
Okay, the main character. The character with the Agumon.
Okay, well, he's good.
Masaru's actually up there with Takato and Haru as my favorite main dude.
I think I like him a bit less than those, but maybe it's because he's older and the stuff he's doing. Yeah. Like, he acts in such a shonen way, but he's old enough that you should start thinking maybe you don't act like that anymore.
Also, I noticed this when I was taking screenshots for this episode, like this episode where recording's logo.
Mm-hmm.
But in the second opening, which is Hirari, there's shots of Suguru, Banshuleyamon, and the dog tag are shown, and Masaru's walking and he's looking pretty depressed.
Aww.
And then he looks up and smiles enthusiastically. And I think this really, really shows what his character is, and it shows his character quite well as somebody who always manages, no matter what's happening, to lift his head and to find some hope and to find some happiness.
Yeah, it's a good time.
Because he's looking depressed because he's, you know, there's Banshuleyamon there, and it's kind of obvious that Banshuleyamon is Suguru from this clip, and he's showing that dog tag's important.
Oh my god, and doesn't it ever?
But the thing is, Banshuleyamon comes forward and Suguru goes away, and Suguru fades out and Banshuleyamon becomes clearer.
Ah, it's fine. I would have noticed it if it was important.
But you notice the Royal Knights was in the next scene or the scene before.
To be fair, it was because they hadn't shown up in the show yet.
Yeah, but no, I just found that was quite interesting. But no, I think he's a pretty good Goggle Kid. I mean, out of all of Adventure, as in Adventure, Zero Two, and Try, try. Tai Chi's great.
Yes, Tai Chi's awesome. I love him. Especially in the stage play, he was fine. I think I really liked him in 02, actually.
Yeah, in 02 is probably the best part of 02 because he's, and again, and we talk about this constantly when we talk about the favorite part of 02 was when they say, "Hey Hikari, we have to tell these kids to kill Digimon."
That's the best. Lone Wolf, obviously, Thomas, pretty good. I actually really like him in hindsight. I'd never thought I would. And now in hindsight, I love him.
Also,
I think
he's
really good.
His heel turn is written
super justified.
Matt. Yeah. I don't think he's as good as Rookie, though.
Ah, it's pretty tough.
But his issues with the main boy seemed more valid than in previous seasons. Like, that's always been a thing. The Lone Wolf has problems with the main boy.
Well, it's funny, though, because, like, his issues are justified by the way everyone else reacts. And everyone else reacts irrationally.
They say, "Oh, Masaru, you're so great." Even though it's like, "Oh, Thomas," like, "Oh, it's my idea."
So, like, it's they don't have personal issues. He has issues with the way other people react to Masaru. And that's their fault, not Masaru's fault.
Yes.
Which I think is weird.
But Ruki sort of just didn't like people in general, so that was her issue with Takato.
I like her, though. She's fun.
Yeah, she's great. But every other season, they've sort of just given not so much of a good idea, like, a good reason for the Lone Wolf to not like the Golden Boy. Like, it's just because, oh, they just don't like each other. I guess Frontier was okay. Like,
he was just a dick.
No, he said, "Oh, you're not impulsive. You don't think you're impulsive and you think. Don't think things through," but that's...
No, he was just a dick.
Yeah. And Tama was actually reasonable. For a girl, Yoshina's better than Izumi, at least.
That's all there is to say. Moving on.
And I'm just like... I mean, even Mimi had... Mimi's great. Mimi's the best.
Don't say even Mimi. She's good.
Yeah, she's still one of my favourites. For the nerd, I guess we'll have to say Tama's the nerd for this season.
I don't think we need to put a nerd category in. There aren't enough archetypes for the number of characters we ended up with.
But he's shown to be more strategic than intelligent, and it's just sort of like... It's not used in the same way as Koshiro or Miyako. It's not used as often as it could be if he was the nerd.
Well, he's not a nerd, right? Yeah. He's just a smart guy.
Yeah, but that's like the nerd character's the
that's
genius.
That's not what the nerd is.
Yeah. Then we have the little kid, and I actually think Akuto might be my favorite, little kid character.
Yeah,
because
you know what, maybe.
The thing is, he's a lot less annoying, and he's not a crybaby like every other little kid that's been in the show. Like,
he's actually quite endearing.
Crybaby. Oh, Iori wasn't the crybaby, but he was just nothing.
Yeah, it was very, very boring. Except for that one episode, I guess, but it's still really boring.
And yes, Akuto does cry, but he cried for, like, really decent reasons that is pretty far for an 8-year-old to comprehend.
His mom died.
Or watching the death of Frigimon and Marukimon, who basically were his parents. So yeah, and reuniting with his birth parents, he cried, and then saying goodbye to his best friend. And those, I think, are reasonable things.
He's also the guy who shows up halfway through, which, again, like, so was Kari, and she was also the little kid. Not as much, but she obviously fit that category as well.
Yeah.
We just said Kuto's a good time. He's way better than Ryo, because Ryo sucked.
And Ryo also showed up halfway through in the digital world already knowing about the universe.
No, but he sucked, though, because he didn't tell them anything.
Mm.
Like, he could have been so helpful.
Yeah,
he
was
has Millennium
useless.
On, but he was garbage.
He was there as an Easter egg that kind of overstepped the whole Easter egg
for
thing.
Sure.
And what about the ending? How did the ending compare to other seasons of Digimon?
It was... Okay, the actual full ending part with the epilogue was really good. Mm. I quite liked it. It was probably a bit shorter than I would have liked, but otherwise it was good. And the conclusion of the actual fight when he punches the crystal core, that was also cool, but I don't know, just the last arc was not amazing.
I was mainly talking about the last episode.
Oh, then it's really good. Mm. It's right next to Adventure, where, like, I feel the ending of
Tamers
made me sad.
Yeah, because I was they're not seeing each other again. And that
it was
scene,
very abrupt.
That scene where Genra's dad is, Dunyu is saying, "Oh, it'll be all okay," and he just shakes his head.
Yeah, that's
like,
sad.
No, it won't.
The ending of Frontier I didn't care about at all. It was bad. And ending of 02 was obviously hilarious. But that's the kind of epilogue where you're like, well, I don't feel good about most of the stuff that's happening here.
Yeah.
And I don't care necessarily. Ah, well. And Atmon actually is also quite abrupt at the end. So, yeah, this is probably one of the best ones.
Yeah, and I feel like seasons of Digimon don't tend to end well. Like, I don't think they know how to write, like, the ending of, like, how do they say goodbye to their best friends.
This one was.
Yeah, except for Adventure and Savers, which I think the best way to end a show.
You have to sit down and have a big goodbye. That's important.
Now for Total Thorough Thoughts, where we give our overall rating and opinion on Savers. So, the worst thing and the best thing. So, best thing, Masaru's attitude. He's impulsive, like Daisuke, but he's also caring and loving, and it's almost like Takato in the way that he seems to actually love his partner, and he loves his friends. And his relationship with Agumon is so much more than just the Digimon and human partnership. It's their best friends, their brothers, and it's really nice. And he's just as friend-oriented as Takato, and it's just really nice. It's sort of like a nice blend between that impulsive, rough character, which Daisuke is, and I guess Taichi was a little bit.
I like how he punched stuff, and it never went away. In fact, he became the most powerful Digimon through punching. It was the best. Yes,
and people do say, oh man, I really wish they dropped the punching gimmick. I'm like, no, Digimon always drops the good gimmick.
Yeah, usually they're like, oh, the card slash, that was cool, it's gone. Or they would do cool stuff with fusion maybe, and that's gone. And in this case, no, the punching was always good, it was always fun.
Mm.
And the worst stuff for me, it's gotta be Yoshi's just so boring. Karada's crap.
Yeah.
He's written so badly.
See, my worst thing was that characters who weren't Masaru got pretty shafted story-wise.
Ikuto didn't. Ikuto had plenty. He had whole arcs about it.
I guess Toma did too. Maybe I'm just salty about Yoshino.
It's really just Yoshi.
That's really sad.
We had some listener thoughts about the best things. The first, we have a punch, actually. The first says, the bond between Agumon and Masaru, then punch everything! Masaru being a good egg, the tight, almost fillerless storyline from episode 12 onwards.
And yeah, we didn't have that much filler.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's not as tight as I think that describes, because 48 episodes is a lot of time.
Yes.
The Biohybrid mini-boss team, they could have been utilized much, much better, but they were still a fun and interesting unit, and their presence made for some of this series' best episodes.
I would agree with that.
And I'd suggest, however, that that arc, that entire arc, is filler, because those fights aren't necessary, they don't progress the story.
No.
Except for the dam, but they didn't need those characters for that.
We had Toma having the issues with Masaru.
Yeah, individual characters aren't relevant to that.
Yeah, but that was... I don't know, I really liked it.
That's fine. You liked it. It doesn't make it necessary.
Yeah, no, you're right. It wasn't necessary, but I feel like that was a good, almost catalyst,
Marcus punching his problems. Sayuri, do I really need to say anything more? The general premise of Digimon Task Force and the Royal Knights were actually pretty good in this. Masaru's relationship with Agumon and his family, the more down-to-earth, interpersonal slant, at least early on in the series. Masaru, being the strongest one, he can legitimately take on high-level Digimon on his own, and it's awesome. Ikuto slash Falcomon's partnership, which is really sweet. Agumon, who is the good boy.
He is a good boy.
Seeing Masaru and Agumon's relationship grow, an attempt at foreshadowing. For once, that's the entire thing. Masaru's punching Digimon, Masaru punching everything, including God. And Masaru's character, his punchiness is great, but there's also so much more to him than that. Throughout the series, you get a real sense of how his punchy, competitive nature and his obsession with manliness is tied to his isolation of his dad, making him really very interesting as well as being hella entertaining, and also generally an adorable doofus. Then, Masaru punching things. Then the police organization aspect, not really used at all, and the fact that some humans are well aware of Digimon and not completely mishandling the situation. They're not a big fan of Savers generally, though. Then, PUN! Then, the punching. Then, there are good adults with Digimon partners. Oh, and the variations of Digizolve charge sequences. Now, people really like the punching, and so they should. Then, with the worst things, people say Yoshi's lack of development, the lack of development of Yoshi. It's infuriating that she gets the short end of the stick. Hell, Ikuto might have more development, and he does. The slow beginning, inconsistent animation and production values, Yoshi ends up largely sidelined. Flat characters and Masaru constantly advertising his regressive brand of masculinity. Fair enough, I think I took a shot at that earlier in the show. Lack of development for Yoshi. The Royal Knights, they didn't do much and they could have been removed from the show altogether without losing much. Then Yoshi didn't get a fair share of focus. Then the plot, then the major villains, then the treatment of Yoshi again. The last time we had a main cast of three characters, being Tamers, they were all incredibly developed and went through an entire character arc each, except for... what's his name?
Henry, just say Henry.
Except for Henry, who got like nothing. It was Terrymon, he got all the cool stuff. Yoshi, however, was just treated as a side character who needed to evolve in a character-based episode because she was on the poster. A Kurata's character, painfully exposed by Jay throughout the arc. Yes! I always loved Kurata as the crazy mad scientist with lab coat and glasses and easy to hate villain, but as Jay lays bare, Kurata was written so badly. I like him so much less now. Sad. Marcus punches. They're funny once in a while, but too jarring, stupid, and screams shonen. Yoshino is very underused and should have had more time in the limelight. Inconsistencies and logical fallacies out the wazoo. Koki getting no backstory. The lack of Yoshi's development. And then honestly, the inconsistency in the art style in the later episodes. When you rewatch Savers a lot, and especially if you're a fan artist who tries to draw the characters as on model as possible, it's really distracting. It says a lot about how good they find Savers that to them, the biggest problem with it, does this form not have a name field? Well, this is... so it's Elivorg saying this. And that's their biggest issue with it. And then they say a lot of the character work was just left behind. Then the use of burst mode and acting like burst mode was some big hype thing when it really wasn't. Also, completely sidelining Yoshi and her character character since she has very little personality outside of obligatory mature girl. At least they justify the mature part by making her older, but even then, you couldn't tell from the designs. Also, not really a fan of Agumon returning. Galmon filling Galmon's wolf niche is fine, since that, at least, it's a retake on the whole thing, but I also think it's weird that Agumon came back completely. I think
it was trying to get some people back into Digimon, because they were saying, hey, look, this one's older now. You are now 14, you can watch this too. Because the people who grew up with Digimon were teenagers now.
Yeah, I know. But the intent behind something doesn't necessarily make it a good idea.
Mm-mm.
The next one's my favourite. Just the worst thing is moments when no punch.
Which is like the opposite of one of the other ones, which was punching.
All their favourites are punching. And then treatment of Yoshi and to a lesser extent Ikuto. And then Yoshi knows Japanese voice and how it's obvious from episode 1 that this is Masaru's story and everyone else is just a supporting character. Everyone's in support of Yoshi. They feel it. They feel it on your behalf.
Yeah, I feel bad for Yoshino. But Masaru's great. I love him. What about the rating? How would you rate this?
I think the series gets a 7.
I gave it
a
9.
It's positive, but it's not great.
I mean, maybe an 8. Maybe I'll downgrade it to an 8 because, like, I guess...
There's a lot of problems.
Is Atmon a 10?
Atmon is a 10.
V-Tamer is a 10.
V-Tamer is a 10 or an 11.
11. It's an 11. V-Tamer's really good. Please read V-Tamer.
V-Tamer might be an 11 if it was animated.
Oh gosh, it should be, but I feel like the time would have passed for that.
Oh, of course it has.
It would have been great though. It deserves an English release. What would we have changed?
Oh, what would I would have rewritten Kurata entirely, and then I also would have rewritten Yggdrasil to be consistent. Because I think Yggdrasil is fascinating, but it's obvious that they couldn't figure out how to make it be a bad guy and also be correct. And the answer is to make it be a bad guy and also be correct. Because if you have a dilemma, i.e. you have two different truths, one of them has to win, and if one of them benefits humanity, then that's the good guy side, even if the other side is also true. There don't have to be a crazy madman who wants to destroy humanity because humans are evil. It can just be because you want to save the digital world, and because the probability of success is, if you do not destroy humanity, is so low, it's not worth doing, because having a purely logical machine is really interesting in a story all about how human emotions are important for Digimon.
Yep.
And how the god of the digital world is not a Digimon, which is why it's not Yggdrasil Mon.
See, I would have... This is obvious, but give more to Yoshino. Give her
so
an
agree
end to...
with every single one of our audience?
I felt like she didn't get an end to her story arc.
No, she didn't. Well, I mean, she kind of did. It was when she fought that elephant. She's like, I'm not anxious anymore.
But that was like 20 episodes before the
end.
Yeah,
it was. And she was perfectly better since then. Yeah. It wasn't an important story.
Do you remember any screenshots? Because
I want to just mention the one I took of the... Oh, no. It's of the movie again, because it's one's fresh in my mind.
Yeah.
Which is when Akumon's like vomiting fire all over the Goblimon or whatever it is, and there's Lalamon in the background like, oh, it's just so funny.
See, I almost actually chose the screenshot of the series that was the screenshot of the week last week because it was fresh in my mind, which was Lalamon and the sausage, but I didn't. I went through and looked. It's actually Relena meeting Galmon when she's
just
like,
very cute.
She touches, like, oh, your nose is wet. Your fur's soft. Like a real dog. It's so cute.
He says that he's not a dog in the recap episode. It's really sad.
Aww.
He lies to himself. Why would
he's
he
like,
do
well,
this?
Well, he's not a dog, to be fair. And now we're going to look towards the future to reclaim the digital world. No. We're going to be... I ad-libbed that, actually. I was just like, hey, that actually sounds like Frontier.
Good.
I'm going to reference
good.
Frontier. Let's talk about Cross Wars. There are some links, and I would like you to click those links, please.
Okay, so I've seen the first one, which is the Digivice, and I'm going to tell you right now...
I know exactly what you're going to say.
Is it A, a microphone, or B, a head razor?
That's not what I thought you were going to say, because when I was getting the photos, I was just like, gee, that looks a lot like a Pokedex.
Oh, you know, I guess.
And I was like, gee, I bet Jay's going to say that, and you didn't. And honestly, I'm surprised.
It looks like you're going to a barbershop and they're going to just shave your head now. It's the clippers.
Yeah.
It's exactly what it looks like. It's the shape. And the art, let's see. I actually have no idea what Cross Wars looks like. Except for like, yeah, oh, that looks bad.
You said that about every season.
No, you know what this looks like though?
What?
This looks like they ran out of budget from Savers. It looks legitimately like Brazilian dog moms.
Oh no.
I don't know. There's just something about all the character designs and they're all awful. God, was this made in 2006?
No. Oh, it was made in 2010?
That's embarrassing.
Maybe
2011? We knew good stuff in 2010. That's really embarrassing.
Yeah.
So am I playing these songs?
Yeah, the intro, yeah. You just load them up and put them near your microphone.
Do we gotta...
Yeah, we always do.
Oh, man. This is not gonna play good. Are you gonna just put the actual audio over this?
No, we never do. Just put it in the microphone.
Oh, all right then. I have to watch the whole thing.
It's only a minute and a bit.
Is that Voltron?
Yes.
Is that straight up Voltron?
Yes, it's Voltron.
They just killed that elephant. Who's the Bishy boy?
Which Bishy boy?
One of the dragons. Who's the guy with the terrible hair with the little soldiers? It's another team of three, huh?
Oh man, is it a full version? Yeah, you can stop it now. Oh no, it's zooming out. I hope that was the opening. I think it was the opening. Yeah. So, what do you think?
I thought that was the most generic music we've ever had at the beginning.
Yes.
And I think that all the characters look crap, but I think that the Digimon look cool.
I mean, it's not Watakoji.
Shoutmon looks all right, and I love the pink rabbit. I love the pink rabbit. It's my favorite.
What would you call this pink rabbit?
I'd call it Listenmon.
No.
Okay, because like shout. And
no,
listen.
It has nothing to do with shout.
Okay. What is it?
How would you describe this?
Is it called Pink Bunmon?
Close. Well, how else would you describe it?
Rabimon?
No. We already have a Rabimon.
Bunnymon? Really?
No, it's not a Bunnymon.
Well, what is it then?
No, how would you describe this thing?
Pink bunny!
Yeah, and how would you say it would look?
It's a cute one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
Okay, let's go English.
You've actually already seen this before.
Oh, this is embarrassing for me to listen to.
Right? It's an interesting dub. It's very cheesy.
This makes me want to die. Did you know that?
I like the auto-tune. That's my favorite part.
It legitimately hurts my chest because it feels like it's a parody.
It's like Worst Frontier.
Now, this is 2010.
Yeah.
That is enough.
That is enough, yeah.
That is trash. That is truly, truly garbage.
So the thing about Cross Wars is that you actually have a Digimon army and you're actually a general of that army.
Is that true?
Yes.
That's cool.
Why would I lie that up?
That's why it's called Wars.
Yeah.
That's a cool idea.
So actually there are different armies?
They could have made like an Advance Wars style game with Digimon. That would have been the cutest actually.
Actually, they did have that. It was on the Digivice toy, which was actually the best one. It was also an MP3 player. And it had a full color screen. You had to build your army and you would fight.
Well, no wonder it failed. It was on this weird little toy when they could have made an actual game out of it.
Yeah, so it was pretty good. But yeah, so there are different armies. But the main guy, his army is called Crossheart. I think it's Fusion Fighters in the dub. I can't remember. But yeah, so that's but the rough premise.
All right.
Also, they don't even pretend to have a female character, basically.
Wait, I thought there was.
There is the girl, but she's just like, she doesn't really come in for a bit, I think.
What about the one with Cutemon?
They're just tag-alongs.
Wait, so there's only one character?
Yes!
Oh, cool. Nice.
No, it's more like, I guess, V-Tamer.
Oh, sweet. That's actually, I'm looking forward to that.
Really?
That seems like a good idea.
I feel like there are good parts with it.
All right, we'll find out. Honestly, the premise of this sounds good. Yes. The designs are all crap.
That's surprising because I was like, I did not like the premise when I first
heard
of it.
Premise sounds sick. Because you know why? Because it sounds so unique and
also,
different.
Also, like, there's no, like, evolution's different.
Also, if they're generals, maybe there'll be strategy and interesting things will happen. I doubt it because everyone hates the show, but maybe it'll be good. What if I come out of this and I'm the biggest fan of this show?
That'd be interesting.
It's got a crap opening though. It's real bad, which is not a good sign.
Yeah, but it's I feel like Cross Wars could have done better. It's just that a lot of people heard the premise because they fuse the Digimon.
Yeah.
In the armies, like you make new Digimon.
That's
but
interesting.
In a way, it's sort of like, remember Card Slashes, where you would say, I'm gonna add on Sneemon's arms.
Yeah, that was cool.
It's like that. You would use the strength.
That's very
like,
cool.
Like from like, yeah, with these Starmons, I'm gonna make a sword.
I should watch Metabots again. Alright everybody, join us for the next episode of Darling in the Franxx. Mikey goes to another world.
Or Taiki, go to another world.
And he is Shoutmon, hear him roar.
Or Shoutmon roar. The link dumps linked in the description, and our Redbubble's also linked in the description, and you can get more than just shirts there too. You can contact us and stay updated. You can email us at lostintranslationmon@gmail.com, or you can comment on this episode or message us on SoundCloud. You can follow us on @translationmon on Twitter, and you can find us on Lost in Translationmon on Tumblr, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. We have a discussion thread on With the Will and a red thread in the Digimon subreddit, and we would appreciate it if you would view us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and any other podcast listening app that you use. Ratings really do assist people finding out about the podcast. We also have a website. You can vote in our polls, check out our release schedule, which we're currently, as I mentioned, in the progress of working out what what that'll look like. I'm going to be trying to release stuff on my own and see how that goes. But as soon as I start updating that, I will make a blog post about it, at which you can also find our website, all our blog posts. I'm writing a review at the moment about the 20th anniversary art book. I'm a big fan of it. You can also donate to our Patreon within the description from as little as $1 a month. And that gets you access to a list of Slack chat group. But there are higher levels and more rewards, such as notes, early episodes, and more.
And thank you to our Patreon supporters, Sam Krieger, who has a podcast with Stevie called The Moncast, Stevie, who is also Stevie Padman on Tumblr and is currently taking commissions there, Witching Long, you can find at twitch.tv/Witching Long, Metal Mamimon, Joe, Anime Guy, who is Anime Guy Kurosaki and the number one on YouTube, Chakmon, Hiro Olato, who is at Hiro Olato on Twitter, Jason Morosky, Ryuchi, who is Frost Miradek on Archive of Our Own, and inkit.com/RydenAllen, Stephen Reeves, who is at WildLink64 on Twitter, Kaidawashi, Mac, Noam, Riku, Chisai, who can follow at Chisai236 on Tumblr, Kyle, Delaney Bugman, whose anime blog you can find at BaguBaragu.wordpress.com, Glitchgoat, Azrael McCool, Gene Hackmon, who hosts New World Sonata, which is a sci-fi fantasy audio drama podcast, Matthew, Anthony, who is at AntoClassic on Twitter, Lizmet, who is Lakemon on Tumblr, Sithobi, Ellievorg, who is Ellievorg on Tumblr, Sporky McForkinspoon, who has a Digimon podcast called Going Digital, Megan, Kyliak, Neobu, The Time Optimist, FlipAhead325, who is at SHF25Tweets on Twitter, Harvey, Alex, Nicholas, and Thunder.
You can also make a one-off donation at PayPal, which you found in the description. It's paypal.me/Agimon. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast. We'll see you guys next time. Bye!